Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's hard to do my job and focus if you're going to be over there DJing, Devin.
Awesome.
You know, we got to start feeling good. We got to go into this weekend with a smile on our face and something that makes us feel good. And that music does it. You know, when I'm with Dan Cook, you know, and I don't mind working with Dan Cook, you know, but, you know, I've got to give him my playlist because otherwise he'll, you know, have me listening to, like, you know, The Police or, you know, some country western singer or, you know, you just never know. It's going to play. And, you know, I like it a little funky. So you understand my spirit and my soul and where I'm coming from when I start talking about Devin. Play me some of that music. And it's been jamming today. Oh, we're getting ready to kick it off to the holiday weekend, whether you're going up north to the cabin or hanging out with the kids in the backyard, having a water balloon fight, which is what we plan to do. Thank you so much for stopping by WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station here. Is the Chad Hartman Show, but he is not here. I'm here. My name is Shaletta, and I'll be hanging out with you until 3. Devin and I are got an amazing lineup of guests. We've got some tunes. We got some fun, but we also have some serious topics that we need to discuss. And I've got Jason Clopton, the Teen Whisperer, on the phone line with me. Thank you, Jason, for joining the Chad Hartman Show. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. Devin, you were jamming, too.
Thank you, sir.
Now, I met Jason because my son Andrew was in crisis. He was going through a really difficult time. You know, Andrew got 3 young siblings with autism. He's turning into a teenager. He's emotional. He's got his first girlfriend that he can't see. And he's been told that he's not going to be able to enjoy his first year of high school, that we're going to distance learn him from the house. And I needed somebody that Andrew could trust and talk to and relate to, somebody who looks like him. And it was not easy to find Jason, who is here on the phone lines with us. It was very difficult to locate him. I did a Google search. I called around, but nobody knew of an African-American male therapist, young guy, who could talk to, relate to, and help my son get to a place of healing. And when I found Jason, it was like a rabbit's foot. You know, I just wanted to put a chain on him and keep him around my neck because I knew that I wouldn't find another one. You know, and so when Alyssa Roth wrote a story in the NPR for the news, it says, "Where can I feel safe? The need for more Black therapists in Minnesota." I thought I had to get Jason on the show today to talk about why we don't have more African-American therapists in the state of Minnesota to help everyone, but especially our kids.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And for this topic is a much needed discussion. And I'm glad to have it with you, Shaletta. You are just the voice we need. I mean, that article, the title itself speaks volumes. Where can I feel safe? And it's about Black people having a place and feeling like they have a place in America and they have a voice. And, you know, there's a shortage overall of mental health professionals. We just need more mental health professionals in a variety of different settings, right? We need to just support our community. And we don't have that. We're not taking that into account. So, but after this George Floyd killing, you know, the generational trauma, the continued violence, the continued police brutality, as a young Black man, it's kind of scary right now, living in these times. And that's where we're getting this message that our nation is telling us that we're not safe as Black folks, right? So where can I feel safe? Where can I go where I can talk about some of these deeper issues that are bothering me and I can feel safe doing it? So I'm glad that this article came out and we're talking about it today.
You know, and before time, especially in the African-American community, we were hesitant to go to a therapist. You know, if something was wrong, we relied on our faith and prayer to get us out of it. But we're disconnected from church. You know, we can't go sit in the congregation. We can't collectively meet. You know, a time we would go to the altar and have pastor lay hands on us or, you know, go to the pastor's office and talk and have a conversation and a discussion. But we don't have that connection anymore. And in addition to that, it's just good for your mental health, for your soul, to have a professional to talk to give you something. And prayer is good. We need prayer, but give you something else to do. You know, the one thing that, you know, I tell people, you're a miracle worker, Jason. We're talking to Jason Clopton. He has a podcast called The Teen Whisperer, and he's a mental health professional here in the Twin Cities, is that you're able to speak to children. When Jason and Andrew were doing their therapy, they would be playing a video game together sometimes. Sometimes they would go and play basketball and talk. And the one thing that I remember Andrew telling you is, because he was shut down. He was ready to not talk to you, right, when you first got there to help him. And he said, I thought you were going to be this old white guy with curly hair telling me I could do anything and I could make it. But he saw you come up in your Jordans and your fancy car and your kicks and your, you know, your basketball, you know, shorts, and you had your own ball and you guys were ready to play. And his whole attitude changed.
Yes. And that's part of the negative narrative. I mean, the reason why he thought that is because that's what we see. That's what's available. In Minnesota, there was a study done back in the, and it's actually even in the art, there was a study done in 2014 that 95% of the mental health professionals, 95% were white, and just over 2% were Black. That is alarming, right? So of course Andrew's going to think that. That's what he typically sees. We saw this issue in our school systems where the need for Black teachers, especially African-American males, is needed, right? And there's this bearing need, right? We just really need this. So representation matters. But there's a negative narrative out there also, Shaletta, and I think you touched on that, right? That Black folks are, we're accustomed to struggling through life challenges, right? So we won't do things like commit suicide, or we're going to be okay, or we'll just pray through it, right? And that's not healthy. That's not tending to our mental health. And for so many generations and for far too long, we have left that conversation off the table. What about the things that we think and feel about what's going on? And how are we addressing those things? How are we providing resources and access to resources for African-American children and families to get the help that they need dealing with things that are really bothering them deep down inside, right? And not just in an office setting, right? We need these types of supports in our school systems, at our jobs. I heard you say about church. Yeah, church, it's great to have that spiritual health and that pastor as a counselor, right? But when you step foot out of church, you have to deal with the everyday struggles that life presents to you. And I'm sorry, but those struggles are different for Black folks than they are for white folks. Let's be honest about it, right? And we need some people that can understand that struggle and that can have that conversation in a different way. And I'm glad you brought that up, that how I showed up for Andrew. And that was a great connection point for both of us, because that's one thing that I do pride myself on, is that I speak the language. I know how to text talk in regular language, you know.
Right. Yeah.
I may tell Andrew, instead of saying see you later, I may say TTYL, right? Talk to you later. So I mean, it's really about finding those unique spaces and opportunities for us to make those connections. Some of the negative narratives also about our community in our community is that the elder don't respect the young and the young don't respect anything. Right. So it's about finding those unique ways to make those connections. And I show up authentic. I show up myself. I'm not always in tight pants and a tie and a bow tie and a button-up shirt every day. That's not what I'm comfortable in. And if I expect my client to be comfortable when they come see me, then I have to be comfortable myself.
And, you know, the one thing that this does, the alarming statistic of how few Black mental health professionals we have in the state of Minnesota, with so much trauma going on, especially for our children in Minnesota. Yeah. My son told me, Mom, I still haven't gotten over the death of Philando Castile, and now you're asking me to process the death of George Floyd. Mom, why can't I walk to the store by myself? Why can't I play with BB guns in the front yard with my friends? He's internalizing it. It's making him feel like he's a bad person. At some point, he's going to start thinking he's done something wrong. My younger children, you know, they were walking with a babysitter the other day, and she came back early, and I needed to know why. And she said, because they saw the police and they got so scared, they didn't want to walk anymore. They just wanted to go back home. We need more Black mental health professionals who identify with what we're going through, because I'm looking in this piece and it's talking about how African-American men, for example, are often misdiagnosed with serious diseases like schizophrenia by white mental health professionals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these folks are, you guys are getting countless referrals of young Black boys who have been diagnosed with ADHD, you know, and all kind of other diseases. And then when they take the test, it's not there, because they don't understand our culture, our what we've gone through, how we've overcome, and our regular day-to-day experiences.
Yes, and I'm so glad you made that point, because that's exactly what it is. Those types of experiences create and lead to those misdiagnoses. And it happens far too often. This is why I went to school to study special ed, because young Black boys were making up too much of the special education system, and they were overrepresented in that population. So it's exactly what you said is the reason why Dr. Willie Garrett says things like cultural competence training should be a priority.
Okay, stop. Put a period on that. What is that? Because that's a whole lot of consternations. Culturally, what?
Culturally competence training.
What is that? Explain that to me right now, because it sounds like something we need.
Speak on it. Now, let me tell you what cultural competence is in just a quick nutshell. Cultural confidence is being able to, first and foremost, right, have a little bit of humility and transparency while self-reflecting. It's understanding your own culture, but also being open to understanding and seeking education for others, right? I don't even like the word competence sometimes, right? Because it speaks to you being knowing, almost like being a know-it-all and know everything, right? But I do like what it sparks in people. If you're seeking to be competent, then you're doing the work. You're educating yourself. You're putting yourself in different types of situations where you can have a variety of experiences that you may not have had before to help you understand the experience of others. You're hearing out from other people that you may not have listened to or heard from before. You're reading books. You're going to continuing education classes and trainings. You're doing things to become culturally competent. And although you may never reach that level of competency, you're seeking to understand first, then to be understood. Stephen Covey. And I really want the therapists out there to understand, right, especially the white therapists, it's not an attack on you. It's not saying you can't do the work. It's saying we want you to engage in learning about us and being open and honest and a little humility, right? And saying, you know, I don't have that experience. I don't know that, but I'm willing to learn. And we have to have that. We have to have that transparency with ourselves, and we have to be willing to self-reflect and check our own biases and see how they show up in that therapy room, because that's where the misdiagnosis is happening, because people aren't understanding that. I like the situation you explained, how children see police, and that creates fear, anxiety, and the symptoms that come with that, the thoughts that come with that, the emotions that come with that, and how they stop our kids from doing certain things or affect their behavior. So we have to make sure that we are holding our therapists by the hand through this process and saying, we need to do this together. We need to learn together so that we get it right. Because our families, our children are not being served in a way that are meeting their needs. And there are also a lot of risk factors associated with Black folks that are not necessarily associated with all white folks. And we're talking about racism, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about poverty issues and violence, right, that are in our communities heavily. And those things aren't being addressed when it comes to diagnosing. And we have to consider those things.
And those are some things you talk about every week on your show. We're talking to Jason Clopton. He has a podcast called The Teen Whisperer. It's 149. Jason, I want you to stick around with us. I want you to talk to us about your podcast when we come back. You're listening to The Chad Hartman Show on WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.